Talk Business Arkansas is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau, the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas, Noble Strategies, the Arkansas Healthcare Association, and Delta Trust and Bank.
I'm Roby Brock. Welcome to today's Talk Business Arkansas update. Another override of a governor's veto is underway. But first, let's start with today's business headlines. February's state revenue numbers showed consumers spending more money than the previous month and a lack of income tax refunds. That also helped cushion the state coffers. The Arkansas General Revenue Report for February totaled net revenues of more than $210 million. That's up 10.5% above last year and 8.1% above forecast. Year-to-date, net available general revenues totaled $3.16 billion, up 5.6% above last year and 3.2% above forecast. University of Arkansas Sam Walton College of Business has signed a memorandum of understanding with a Fucape business school in Brazil to work toward the exchange of students and faculty and to develop collaborative programs to benefit both institutions. A document signed by the two schools says they'll establish a formal agreement of cooperation and friendship intended to further academic objectives of each institution. Windrock International's board of directors announced that Rodney Ferguson will become the organization's new president and CEO on April 1st, succeeding Frank Tugwell, who's retiring after leading Windrock for more than 14 years. Ferguson is currently a principal with a Washington, D.C. consulting firm. He'll be responsible for the strategic and management operations of Windrock International. And when we come back from this break, we'll run through our political headlines. And later, I'll be joined by State Senator Eddie Joe Williams. He's the chairman of the State Senate Agencies Committee. What constitutional amendments does he see on the horizon? I'm Roby Brock. This is Talk Business.
I don't think it's going to be an easy conversation because they are very strong-willed. I think it's going to be important to us that we know that you're somewhere in a facility that looks after you, has compassion, has care, and you respect it. I mean, I'd love to look after them. I'd love to be able to take care of them, but I don't think I could. That'd be a wrong choice on my part.
Arkansas's skilled nursing and assisted living centers provide quality care for our seniors.
Farm Bureau helps protect its members in more ways than you might think. They've always been the voice of agriculture in Arkansas, working on behalf of folks like me when nobody else would. And Farm Bureau stands for the values that Arkansas families care about. They've protected my right to farm and make a living, which helps everybody who likes food on the table. You know what they say, Arkansas counts on agriculture, and agriculture counts on Farm Bureau.
The Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The State Chamber AIA is the leading voice for business at the state capitol and serves as the primary business advocate on all issues affecting Arkansas employers. Our mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent anti-business legislation, regulations, and rules. Now more than ever, business matters. Learn more at ArkansasStateChamber.com.
Well, let's run through today's top political headlines. The state Senate overrode another veto of a bill that would limit abortions. Senate Bill 134 by Senator Jason Rapert was vetoed by Governor Beebe on Monday. Lawmakers have already overridden one veto of an abortion bill last week. An Arkansas Budget Committee approved a contract for $220,000 to hire a consultant group to advise it on the state's Medicaid program. Lawmakers are considering a major policy change to Medicaid that would steer low-income workers into a private insurance pool through the federal health care law's insurance exchanges. And this could be worth watching for the athletic prowess, the good charitable cause, and certainly for the potential comedy value. Members of the Arkansas House of Representatives and the Arkansas State Senate will square off on Tuesday, March 19th, in a Hoops for Kids' Sake charity basketball game be held at the Jack Stevens Center on the campus of UALR. Proceeds will benefit Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Central Arkansas. The House will be led by House Speaker Davy Air Carter, and the Senate will be steered by Senate President Michael the Mailman Lamoureux, who has all but guaranteed a victory. And for more details on that event, you can check out our website at talkbusinessarkansas.com. When we come back, we'll sit down with State Senator Eddie Joe Williams. He's the chairman of the State Senate Agencies Committee. We'll talk to him about some of the constitutional amendment proposals that are out there when we come back.
Noble Strategies is a bipartisan state and federal government affairs firm with a successful track record of providing effective advocacy for business, government, and nonprofit entities. Noble Strategies provides service in areas such as lobbying, public affairs, trade association management, and marketing campaigns. Learn more at noblestrat.com.
I was looking for a bank that could best protect my finances.
This shared my passion for my business's potential.
A bank that offered investment expertise,
lending support, insurance guidance.
A bank that delivered full financial support.
That's how I found True Balance.
True Balance.
From my bank.
From my bank.
Delta Trust and Bank, the expertise to meet all your financial needs.
One of the real advantages of Electric Cooperative's membership is having a voice in our state's energy future.
Not a week goes by without important energy issues making headlines. These are issues that need to be discussed. And you should know that as policies are being developed, the cooperatives are looking out for our members, advocating what's best for you.
We are your friends and neighbors.
We are your local electric company.
The Electric Cooperatives.
We are Arkansas.
We're joined now by Senator Eddie Joe Williams. He is the chairman of the Senate State Agencies Committee. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. You guys are going to get a little busy later on this week, I think.
Well, we're meeting twice today, which is unusual, but we've set a special meeting about 10 minutes after adjournment of the session to hear nothing but constitutional amendments.
Let's talk about some of the constitutional amendments. You've put your name on a couple, or at least on one in particular, on tort reform, but kind of how are you going to organize this in terms of giving everybody an opportunity to make their case, make their claim?
Well, interesting you'd ask that, because several of the bills are still shell bills, so I don't expect all of them to run that have been filed. But the process will be, we will set up three meetings, and I'll encourage everyone to come in. We'll set three special order businesses, and we will hear each everyone that comes, and we'll stay as long as we have to. And I expect after the third meeting, we will have it whittled down to the ones that really want to have their amendment heard. And then we'll vote after that. We won't vote before. So we'll set a special meeting, and we'll go through each by title only. And if it gets the necessary votes, five up, then we'll meet in joint meeting with the House, and we'll work them through that.
There is a lot of, I guess, consensus that there is going to be at least one of the three measures that will get referred by the Joint Committee that will deal with tort reform to correct what was struck down by the Supreme Court not too long ago. You've got your name on one of those tort reform constitutional
amendments. Actually, two of them.
On two of them. Yeah. So why do you have it on two of them?
Well, one's a shell bill. Mm-hmm. So you really, you try to have, when you're preparing to do something of that magnitude, you would want a shell bill filed in case you need it. I don't expect to, but we have SJR 5 and 6. 6 has the one that has not been amended, which talks about the pleading practices and procedures, which historically had resided in the legislature for 130 years until 03, or actually 2000, when Amendment 80 was passed. And by Constitution, we give that authority over the Supreme Court. So we're asking for some of that power to come back so we can have some oversight of things that are happening.
You understand the disagreement with that, though, the argument against that, in that it will effectively give the legislature control over that aspect of the judicial branch of government, when there could be a good argument made for that independence in the judiciary.
Well, I think they should be independent, but we're talking about substantive law. And when you start talking about a Supreme Court that maybe and nothing comes to mind specifically, but if they want to be an activist type Supreme Court, then they can interpret pleadings, practice, and procedure as they see fit. and there's really no recourse. So this is just a level of oversight. When you're talking about substantive law, that should house here in the Capitol, not in the Supreme Court. So there's an effort, again, most people don't realize, but that authority has always resided in the legislative body.
Up until 2000.
That's exactly right. Most people don't understand that. So this, and after that, in 2003, when we wrote the Civil Tort Reform Bill, almost all of it had been overturned by the Supreme Court because of the, I guess, 2000 Amendment 80 give them more authority, and they've overturned all substantive tort reform since then. So there's an effort to kind of balance that power out again, and we hope we'll get there.
You mentioned activist judiciary, activist judges. Some people would say the legislature can be a little too activist sometimes, too. So
I can't imagine that.
You can't argue with that.
Yeah.
So what else besides tort reform do you see as really being a top issue out there?
You know, it's funny because we've not met with the House. I haven't met with the House to see what's important to them. I understand there's an ethics bill that would do several things. One is increase term limits. Mm-hmm. So we'll work through that process. The good thing is we're kind of doing it by the book. We're allowing the Senate to go through their process. The House will go through their process. And then we'll meet in joint and we'll agree upon three. Some would say this is the year that the House should have two and the Senate
right.
one. It really doesn't matter to me because at the end of the day, I hope we have three good pieces of legislation to present for constitutional amendments. And if we do that, it'll be okay.
Yeah, and it's okay if you don't pass three out too. You don't have to. It's just
well, there's a thought, and there's no need if we don't have to pass three. Last year or 2 years ago, we passed two. I think the highway bill and the STAR bonds, if my memory serves me. So no, there's no law that says we have to pass out three constitution amendments. And if two comes out, that's fine too.
Yeah. Let's turn to another item too. Last week, there was an override of the governor's veto on Andy Mayberry's pain-capable abortion bill. This week, there's going to be another effort to overturn a veto of Senator Raper's
right.
bill. Without getting into the details of what kind of, maybe those specific bills, but what's the conversation among senators about overriding a veto? Is it something that you... If you feel compelled to do it, it's a no-brainer, or do you have some caution when you're doing that because of the balance of power and the respect for the governor's office and the executive branch? What goes into the decision-making?
Well, really? I'll say this. Obviously, separate powers. The governor has his responsibility, and the legislature's ours and our powers. And those were things that were looked at in detail, and we had feedback when we made the law, when we passed it, Raper's bill. So, you know, I think there's been an honest look at whether it's constitutional or not, and there's the feeling that it is. And the governor did, you know, he does what he, as he said, I do what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, all the respect. We don't have, I mean, and I'm the majority leader, but I think all of us that voted for it, you know, understood the bill, understood it well, had done the research, and we'll continue voting for the bill. So it's not necessarily personal, but I mean, at the end of the day, the governor overrode us with his veto. So I'm not sure in this case who fires the shot, and it's really not important.
Mm-hmm.
But in both houses, what was interesting, it was passed with a substantial margin.
Right.
So that should give us pause before we, you know.
But the overrides have been closer. So obviously people peel off and have some sort of change of mind. And I guess the question I'm just trying to get underneath the surface is, well, what makes that mindset change?
I'm not sure. You'd have to ask all those Democrats who voted with the veto. So I'm not sure. I don't know of a senator one who's changed their mind. And I'm confident that it'll be that way today, at least from a Republican standpoint today. It's funny because as we're doing this interview, we're about to vote upstairs,
right.
And my phone is vibrating off in my pocket, so I'm sure people are nervous. You know, where's the majority leader, and are we up here doing the work? So I don't see that changing today, and quite frankly, if Democrats choose to do that, you know, they're kind of respecting the governor, and but it doesn't change at the end of the day if there's still 18 senators that vote for it. It doesn't matter whether 19 gets it or 21 or 27.
All right. He's Senator Eddie Joe Williams. He's the head of the Senate State Agencies Committee. Thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It. We'll probably talk a little bit later on as the constitutional amendment process moves on. I'm Robbie Brock. You can join us here tomorrow for another edition of Talk Business Arkansas. Take care.
Talk Business Arkansas is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau, the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas, Noble Strategies, the Arkansas Healthcare Association, and Delta Trust and Bank.